Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
He is a Jew. He's very funny. He wants more money and more mic time. He's got anxiety. He's got depression. He takes pills so he doesn't lose his mind. He's just a fart boy. He's not your goy toy.
I am on. By the way, welcome to Clem and Kush. With myself, Bubba Clem, Pump of the Love Sponge, and Seth Kushner.
Hello.
I'm exhausted. It's Tuesday, and I feel like it's fucking Thursday.
I figured you wouldn't want to do this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to do it the best we can. It might be a 20-minute willy.
Well, I mean, I'm here. I'm ready to go.
And I got to think that you're about fucking... But I feel for you. Sometimes I'm back at my apartment. I'm like, man, Kush is still there dealing with a couple barbers. Then he's got my sister. And he's just like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's...
It's a full-time fucking job. Period.
And then some. I quit my second job, which was good money, actually. It was really good money. And I would get home, and it was a social media job and a marketing job, and I would get home, and it'd be, I got to get these podcasts up, then I have to call Gary Cantrell, then I have to try to figure out, you know, what this one's going to look like, and I got to do this description, and but I got to upload this for the Grammatica, you know, social media, and I just decided that I was going to give up the second job, and I'm taking a financial hit, but I'm going all in on the podcasting, all in on focusing on it. I'm spending more time with Brian, trying to do card breaks and everything. So I'm giving all of my attention and energy to the BRN because I feel like so far it's working out for me. And I feel like, you know, it'll continue to benefit me and everybody here and the listeners. I think if I continue to, you know, go down the road I am as far as, you know, developing this content.
I think so, too. I think... I'm not saying anything about your old job, but like what I don't think you had any room for advancement there. I think you were just going to be their social guy.
With the Grammaticas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fine.
And I mean, you know, and as the numbers grew, maybe potentially they would pay you more. But with here, I feel as if you got almost an empty, and I know this sounds stupid, almost an empty canvas that you can, you know, there's just a lot that you can do here.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, you know, like
when you quit Drew's show, I can remember exactly where I was. I was on State Road 52 driving back from I don't know where, and Drew teased it. Did he not?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Seth Kushner coming up next. Seth's got something he'd like to say. It's a major announcement. So I listened to it, and you're like, you know, I really want to just not be a radio guy. I really want to start developing podcasts, and that's kind of where my head is. I don't know that that's
I didn't even know if there's a job, you know, market for that.
Well, you certainly didn't have it at Cox.
No.
You know, you were like, listen, I don't think that necessarily exists here in Cox. And so
imagine 10 years ago, Bubba, I go to the general sales manager of The Bone and I go, hey, Drew and I have this podcast. It's getting like good downloads. And for whatever it's worth, which is nothing, Creative Loafing called it the local podcast of the year. It's like, we got this, you know, what do you want to, you know, I'm like, we'll give it to you guys first. You know, you guys can sell it. We can split it. And he's like, He's like, I don't know. He goes, I don't know how to.
I don't even know how to sell this.
He goes,
shit.
I don't know how to sell this. And I go, what the fuck? Are you serious? So we went out and figured out it. And I talked to some people and I made, you know, money. We made money on our own. But that's when I kind of got forced into feeling like I needed to be a businessman. But they didn't know what the fuck was going on, even just 10 years ago, which for podcasting.
Well, they in particular are one of the last company. You know, like iHeart, they're all in on podcasting. Cumulus, Westwood One. Odyssey.
Yeah, well, I don't know what Odyssey is going to be like because didn't they go bankrupt like twice over?
Yeah, but Soros just bought them. George Soros just bought Odyssey. Now, is that not scary?
I don't know. You know, I'm not a political guy, so I don't know the whole. Well, I don't know the Soros thing.
He's a German dude, I think, or a Russian dude,
a lefty.
Yeah, who pours tons of. Now, listen, this isn't me being one way or the other. This is just a fact.
Is this like a real guy that exists or fake guy? That
No, let's just ask Alexa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she
see
knows.
See what that bitch says.
Yeah.
Hey, Alexa, who is George Soros?
George Soros is a Hungarian-American billionaire hedge fund manager and philanthropist. As of October 2023, he had a net worth of $6.7 billion, having donated more than $32 billion to the Open Society Foundations, of which $15 billion has already been distributed, representing 64% of his original fortune. Forbes called Soros the most generous giver.
Now, hold on. All right. Hey, Alexa, what political party does George Soros give to?
The political party affiliation of George Soros, the Democratic Party.
So he goes in and he comes in like he really, Seth, changes elections because he comes in with all this soft pack money and just destroys whoever's in front of him.
But I mean,
I'm talking about like congressional seats and Senate seats. Like, you know,
there's nobody on the right that's worth $6.7 billion.
I don't know that the right has a person that lives in Hungary. Well, you know, I guess we could probably. Hey, Alexa, who's the largest Republican donor?
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they're probably giving it to DeSantis because from what I was reading, that's what Trump wanted to talk to Ronnie D about because he raised such a shit ton of money in such a short amount of time.
I'll tell you who gave it to DeSantis was the insurance company. That's who gave it to fucking DeSantis.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why he cut a deal with the insurance companies that fucked PIP and mandatory, and like he really fucked the, like, that's why your house insurance is more. That's why your car insurance is more.
How the fuck did we get on George Soros?
Who?
No, how did we start talking about George Soros?
Well, we were talking about
because we're talking podcasting.
We were talking about how George Soros just bought a radio company.
Oh, okay. What the fuck?
In actuality, hold on now. He was, in fact, this just came down yesterday. He was all positioned to buy Cox. George Soros was going to buy Cox, and it fell through in the 11th hour.
Oh.
I can even, well, check this out. Hey, Alexa, is George Soros buying Cox Communications?
Listen.
According to an Alexa Answers contributor, no, he has not.
Okay. Hey, Alexa, was George Soros looking to purchase Cox Media?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Mm. All right. You know, we can check on that later, SpongeBob.
I'm going to show it to you right now.
Oh, okay. Works for me.
J-O-R-G, George Soros looking to purchase Cox Media.
So just,
yeah, it was going down. Here we go.
Just to agree with you, Bubba, no one else has given me the opportunity to do this, which is, this is exactly what I've wanted to do all along, is develop, you know, and work with as many podcasts as I possibly can.
This is from February of, this is about a month old. And George Soros has eyes on Cumulus, Cox after Odyssey purchase. So look, I'm not crazy. Look,
no, I believed you.
And so
I just didn't know the deep meaning behind it. just don't know who's looking to acquire radio stations right now.
I'll tell you.
It's like people...
Guys that can, tell...
Influence?
Yes. Say, listen, you know what? Talk show host, guess who you're going to fucking endorse? Joe Biden, motherfucker, and every other Democratic person that comes up for that. And you're like, who the fuck are you, bitch? I own this motherfucking place.
Even right? The music stations, but I don't think that. I mean, like, if you're acquiring radio stations, I mean, sure, there's going to be some talk people in there, but a lot of them are probably music leaning. And you can't, I mean, unless he wants to make those all liberal leaning talk stations, I don't know.
At the end of the day, man,
it seems like a conspiracy theory.
Well, here we go. I mean, this is the New York Post, which is, arguably a credible place, right? George Soros fund poised to take control of the radio's second largest chain of radio stations. This is scary. He can basically do whatever the fuck he wants. I mean, like, if you bought Odyssey, you can change, you can do it whatever you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, but what if he bought all the newspapers? I mean, I just don't work. Like, if this would have been, I would have understood people being, skeptical or nervous about an acquisition like this 30 years ago. But right now,
But he rolls in and he buys Audacity for just the debt. So no, because nobody's trying to get into radio right now. So he rolls in and buys their debt at $400 million. He owns them.
Which is nothing for all those properties, assuming. Even ones that aren't healthy.
No, I think he gets 220 radio stations. 220 radio stations nationwide, according to the court filings and sources to the situation. The left-leaning billionaire Soros Fund Management has bought up the $400 million of debt in Audacity, the number two U.S. broadcaster behind iHeart, with stations including New York's WFAN and 1010 Winds in Los Angeles KROQ.
Nice station.
Other insider, yeah.
Shit.
So you would be working for this motherfucker right now.
Well, that doesn't worry me so much. I'm not paranoid about all that shit, but it's been sold and went bankrupt twice in the last year and a half. That K Rocket with Odyssey. I mean, I would have to imagine that I would have been the first person that they would have canned when needed to start getting rid of people.
Fuck yeah. So hold on. One insider close to the situation, noting that he was Republican, said he believed it's possible that Soros was buying the stations to exert influence on public opinion in the months leading to the 2024 presidential election. This, you know what? This, quite frankly, is scary that a guy with this much power can come in and buy 220 radio stations. And at the end of the day, I mean, within the radio station world or the FCC that you're governed by, you know this as well as I do, they don't tell you what format you can run.
Right.
The only rules that the FCC has is they have ownership limits, meaning you can only have, I think, maybe 5 FMs and 2 8.
Market.
Yeah, there's some kind of... And then if your stations start doing too good and you get too large of a percentage, like 35%, in the ratings, then they can come in and maybe make you spin one so that you don't have such a large percentage. But they don't have any fucking thing to do. You can literally play polka music and they don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Literally George Soros, and you know how corporate radio works. George Soros, let's say that, just because for all intents and purposes we're familiar with Cox.
Bubba, he'll be done with these radio stations in 3 months.
I mean,
when he realizes that, he can't get the influence out there as quickly as he wants to.
It's a little bit late.
Well, I mean,
you needed this to buy this a year ago.
I mean, what do you do? Right. You go through everybody and you're like, all right, we need somebody more liberal. Get out of here. Then you have to go through the process of finding that person, get them on the air, then start delivering whatever message you want them to deliver. That's why I said I feel like everything to influence this election seems kind of conspiracy theory-ish. I get wanting to control the media. I just feel like, Bubba, we've seen how many companies and people have gotten into buying these radio stations because they've been so cheap over the last 10, 15 years, and they get rid of it just as quickly as they acquire it.
But we've never seen in the history of radio, and you and I have seen a lot, you've never seen in the history, and I've seen more than you, and just by, because I'm older.
Oh, because you've seen more titties.
Well, no, because I've done it a little bit longer. That's it. I've been in a few more markets. I've, been influenced by a few more programmers. And
never did a block party, though.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
I know.
I've just been doing it a little bit longer.
I know.
And
you're the best.
Stop. No, I've never in my career, let alone yours, never seen a guy. Now, this isn't speculation. This is locked in. He bought Odyssey. George Soros owns Odyssey. And so I've never seen ever a company be. I saw JCorp buy CityCasters. I saw CityCasters merge with Clear Channel. I've seen the acquisition. I've been at a radio company that has been acquired and has also acquired. I've seen them both, and never, ever. And I'm asking you. It's always just smaller radio company gets absorbed by a bigger radio company, and then they have to sort out which, like when Cox. When Cox sold to Apollo, they had to sell two stations. But it was Apollo is a global management company that goes in and buys companies for pennies on the dollar, and then cuts wages and runs them just fucking as bone dry as they can, and then spins them off 5, 8, 9 years later.
Right.
That is what we're used to seeing in radio. That or, when JCorp bought CityCasters, JCorp turned in from a 17 station, holdings to like 65. They have 65 stations, and then they rolled it into Clear Channel, which is now rolled into iHeart. But it's all radio people within the radio people. It's media companies that are doing all this. I've never seen a guy that for a living, his hedge fund finances political soft packs in a pro democratic way, buy an entire fucking radio, the second largest radio group in America at 220 stations. And now to his credit, I think he just got them last week. There's not been, a ruling that came down the line that said, hey, listen, the boss man says that we're no longer going to have any conservative talk stations. We're all moving liberal. But if you set the infrastructure up, you could do that. Nobody, the FCC can't tell you that you have to have a top 40. You have to have a country. You got to have a conservative talk. You got to have Ronald Reagan passed the law. Back before Ronald Reagan passed, I think it might have been the Fairness Act. And before that, Seth, this is what it was just before I got into radio. But radio used to be, and I think you know this, maybe you don't, but radio used to be like if you were Rush Limbaugh and you were over there just sucking Republican dick for 25, 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
You had to, this radio station had to offer the opposing opinion the same amount of time that Rush had on.
Yeah, they told me that when I first got into radio. I didn't buy into that shit.
Yeah, they did that. So like,
I told them to fuck off, dude. I'm not having political people. Like, if there's a person running Bubba, like, you're running for sheriff, okay? But let's say you're not Bubba. You're just some other guy and you're a character. Like, I'm going to have you on, but I'm not going to have some boring ass other person on just for this fake rule.
Yeah, well, that's more of a local deal. There was a federal law, that did it.
What's that?
Gummies. Not weed one either.
Oh.
I'm fucking starving.
I feel like we're getting political here.
Oh, we are.
Mm.
Can't help it.
It's not my forte.
You can't help it. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm saying brilliant.
No, I feel like you're concerned. Do you think that he's going to hinder you from getting back into the radio game?
Not at all. Fuck no.
Because you could be a Democrat if you needed to be, right?
I could be sucking Joe Biden's dick.
Oh, yeah.
Nom, nom, nom,
some
nom.
People said you did just after you supported your buddy Howard Stern yesterday.
And
some people said, maybe real friends send more than just a birthday card twice a year. Or once a year. That's what the people said, not me.
To me, it seems like that might have been your sentiment, too.
Oh, no, that was not my sentiment at all. I just I read the Instagram comments now.
You do?
Because I'm on there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm posting all the time, Bubba. We're up, we're almost up over 50% of just everything. You're welcome.
We're going to hit 5 million impressions. Oh, let me see.
I know, but listen,
Twitter.
I'm telling you about the other one, man.
I know. Well, when that thing starts a rolling.
Well, it's a rolling.
Okay, buddy.
Cantrell figured out a couple of things that were wrong with the account, and now we got to chug it along.
See ya, Cantrell.
Cantrell, he's on top of it. He sent me a long text message about 8 things that were wrong with the fucking Instagram thing. I was like,
boom,
go ahead, get it. I said, get it rolling, baby.
Get some, Gary Cantrell. Where's this start at? This is, we said one, where's
about
this?
About 114, yeah.
About 114?
Kobe Bryant's best friend.
Kobe Bryant's best friend. Is he on the right or left?
I think he's on the right.
All right. And what's going on here?
He's doing an interview apparently about how much he hates Kobe Bryant and how much Kobe Bryant was a bad guy.
Hold on. But this is Kobe Bryant's best friend?
That's what the tweet said.
And,
you know, it's a podcast, Bubba. It's, you know. It's...
All right. They lie a lot. Like we do.
I like this guy's fake background, though, of a jail. We need something like that.
Yeah, we do. Okay, I hit play, and I'm now going to, every day we're buffering.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
No, some snot.
God, yeah, no, I figured.
I can't wait to go home and go to bed.
I know. What's with the buffering? Did our internet go out?
I don't know. Every day we're buffering. And I hope it didn't go out, because that means we're fucking done.
No.
Let me see.
Let's give the people what they want.
I mean, okay, there we go.
Let's go wild.
All right, here we go. Hold on. Let me see. We got to turn this up.
The sentence is over with. You get out. Are you thinking that?
Coming out. I see Shannon Brown. I waited out there. I waited.
All right, here we go.
Shit. This right here is what made me be like, you know what? Fuck them. You know what I mean? I waited in the rain. They wasn't letting nobody. It wasn't no more tickets, so I couldn't get in there. It was freezing outside. I waited out that motherfucker. I waited out there the whole time, freezing. I saw the bus, the little tour bus thing that they was in. So, boom, they start coming out. I see Shannon Brown and a bunch of the players. So, I'm like, bet. I see Kobe. I'm like, Bean, you see me. He like, who that? I'm like, man, you know who it is. He like, Sand? I'm like, yeah. He come over. We talking. Mind you, he was giving, the vibe he was giving off was like a weird vibe. I ain't like, it was nothing like how we.
So he was outside at a facility waiting for the Lakers bus to unload.
I believe he just got out of jail.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Work.
Should we back up and should we?
No,
back?
No.
I think we need
you
to
need
know.
To? Okay.
I think we do.
Okay.
I think we might need to listen to it all. I'm so hungry.
You do finally get out of prison. Sentence is over with.
All right, here we go. See, we didn't know that.
Well, I just gave you that.
But we needed to know this motherfucker's an ex-con, and he just got out of prison.
He might not have done it.
Let's talk about this, right? You do finally get out of prison. Sentence is over with. You get out. Are you thinking, damn man, Kobe's gonna look out for me? Put a couple dollars in my pocket. I'm twisted. I'm fucked up.
Yeah.
Did he go to prison to cover Kobe's ass?
I don't know.
Did he just go to prison for you know, fucking doing bad shit?
What are you doing, man?
I missed breakfast today.
You had fucking Krispy Kreme donut holes that Dan brought you. You popped the top off those faster than
Chef.
Yes, sir.
I am fucking starving.
I understand. I'm trying to be a professional broadcaster. You think Mr. Soros would accept this?
Fuck you.
Thinking that?
Yes, I am. You know what I mean? And I held it up. You know, people, a lot of people, like when Kobe came here to like play against the city and the city was booing him and nobody liked Kobe. See, people in this city on the road didn't start liking Kobe till he passed away. They hated Kobe here. Like nobody liked Kobe. I argue.
Am I assuming that might be New York?
L.A.
No.
Yeah.
Right. We argue all day about because they don't like him. And the reason I was on the front page, a lot of people say, oh, he ain't come to court for his man. They don't even be knowing it's me and be saying that. Man, I don't like that nigga. He ain't come to court for his man and shit like that. So we was on the front page of the Daily News. So it was a big thing. Anybody that's listening and looking, go and Google Kevin Sanchez, Kobe Bryant. This is 100% true story. I'm thinking he's going to look out. I'm fucked up.
Seth, you might want to look that story up.
Up out here struggling, but got back dibbling and dabbling in the streets trying to get my shit in order. So
yeah, slinging rock.
Lower Marion was opening up a gym. This is when I really found out he was a piece of shit. This right here is what made me be like, you know what, fuck him. You know what I mean? I waited in the rain. They wasn't letting nobody. It wasn't no more tickets, so I couldn't get in there. It was freezing outside. I waited out that motherfucker. I waited out there the whole time, freezing. I saw the bus, the little tour bus thing that they was in. So boom, they start coming out. I see Shannon Brown and a bunch of the players. So I'm like, bet. I see Kobe. I'm like, Bean. He see me. He like, who that? I'm like, man, you know who it is. He like, Sand? I'm like, yeah. He come over. We talking. Mind you, he was giving, the vibe he was giving off was like a weird vibe. I ain't like, it was nothing like how we.
Yeah, like the vibe that Seth gives me most of the time we talk.
It was a weird vibe. He had his little security team with him. I'm telling him like, what the hell is the security dude there? I want to talk to you personally. So he like, all right, what's going on? I'm like, look, man. His thing was he.
Now, see, it's easy to talk shit about a guy that's dead.
You know what I'm saying? Right, that probably didn't give you money. It seems like we're going down that road.
Yeah, the ding didn't fucking dap you up. And I don't know the circumstances as to what you went to prison for. If you went to prison, you know, because you were covering, you know, Kobe's ass, that's one thing. But if you just went to prison and, like, you know, like, if you, like, for instance, if you went to prison, Seth, right?
Yes.
But it wasn't anything to do with the radio show or anything to do with, you know, helping me out or any kayfabe shit. You know, you just did some bad, you know, whatever.
I'd still talk shit about you.
Why? I'm just saying. Why would you talk shit about me if I ain't got shit? Now, if you went to prison and it was because you were taking a rap for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't fucking take care of you.
I'd keep my mouth shut.
No, you. That's when you can blow your mouth open. That fat motherfucker didn't, you know, I did 2 years for him. I mean, you know, first of all, if you did 2 years for me, here's what I would do.
I'm not doing eight minutes, man.
I'm just fucking telling you, fucking dumbass.
If you got something in mind.
If something happened where you took the rap for me, then I would make sure that Phoebe gets your, like, I would pay your.
Fuck out of here, Tony Soprano. No, you wouldn't.
Okay.
I know how this stuff works, Bubba. The wise guys go to jail. The wife and kids get like one or two payments, and then you just forget about them.
No, you know what? You're wrong.
No, Big Pussy's wife had to get a job.
No. Let me tell you something. Richard Fabrizi's father was old school mob. And his like three or four of his boys got sent up for 31 years, and Dick Fabrizi for 31 years paid their families, those guys' salary for 31 fucking years.
I'm gonna guess Dick Fabrizi had, you know, more in the bank than you know your Brett Favre, you know, sketches that you're planning on selling.
He kept trying to reminisce to why he didn't come to court because he never explained that to me. I didn't even want to hear that. I told him, look, Kobe, I don't care about the court shit. It's over. I did the time. I'm home. This is what I need you to do for me. I'm like, look, man, I don't want no handouts. I don't want no money. I don't want shit.
See, that, you know, he's feeling like maybe if Kobe would have gone to court and maybe, like, testified as a character witness and said this guy. Like, Seth, you do know me well enough that if you got hand up in some shit and I needed to go to court, I would go to court to stick up for you.
No, like, I know, but you...
I absolutely would be like, listen... This is not the Seth Kushner that I know. He's a good dude. He gets a little anxiety.
But what if
and if I was you, Your Honor, I'd go light on the sentence because he's going to fucking come unglued.
But what if my character witness has character concerns?
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Your attorney might say, hey, listen, I know Bob offered, but we're going to go ahead and decline this. I know that you think that Bubba coming up here.
We're going to get John Senning up here instead.
Yeah, we're going to get John Senning. Maybe even John Cena, too. I don't even know.
This is what I need you to do.
You know, we heard Seth met Batista one time. Maybe he'll come in, you know. Samoa Joe, you know, Chris Jericho.
I got a family, man. All I want to do is go back with you. You get me out there, L.A. somewhere, man. Put me with somebody where I can make my own money. You just, like, get me in, and I'm working for somebody, or I'm doing something or a business, anything to benefit myself.
You're looking to me.
Harder than a handout.
Well, I was getting ready to say, man, To me, brother, you look like you're looking for a handout. Like,
get me a job and somewhere I can really grow and make money.
You're looking for a fucking handout. And Kobe, at this point, you're asking Kobe to stick his neck out for a guy that just did some fucking time. He's not going to go to, you know, the guy, some dude that's got a successful business and stick his neck out for you. Shut the fuck up, dude.
You know what, Bubba?
This guy's a fucking asshole.
It does suck because I'm sure a lot of people feel this way, but you know, sometimes you, when you make it, you got to distance yourself from people that you know.
There are people that literally do pod. There are people, former show members of mine, that do fucking YouTube videos that get 234 fucking views, and all they do is bitch about how much of a dick I was and how I fucked things up. Meanwhile, they couldn't scratch the surface of regular fucking radio. Haven't done anything since leaving me, but it's all my fault. It's all my, how about the, I don't know however many years you worked for me and the hundreds of thousands of dollars that I paid you. How about that? Let's start with that. How about the fact that you've not been able to make it in radio without me? How about that? Isn't that fucking saying something?
I just feel like it's been a long time for them to continue to have, you know, such negative things to say.
Get over it, bitch. I mean, Wait for my documentary. It'll explain it all.
There's nothing free. I don't want to do nothing but work for it. That's all I said.
One of the two dudes is like Johnny Innocent. Oh, I didn't do anything. Switch the fuck up, sex tape broker. Fuck.
All I asked you to do. I don't want nothing. I
can't believe iHeart fucking hired you.
And just put me in position. He Kobe Bryant. He could put me with anybody. But or he could do it himself. Put me as a security on a security team. Anything.
Oh man.
We were super tight. There's no way he shouldn't do this for me. So I said that to him. He said, oh, yeah, that'll be no problem, no problem. I'm like, yo, I need a number. I don't got no number on you. How am I going to get back to you? He gives me a phone number. I'm happy as hell. I'm happy now. I'm like.
Wrong number.
No.
Let's see.
You think?
I'm predicting wrong number. What are you predicting?
Man. It seems like it's got
to
be.
Yeah. And when that's my man, I'm back with my guy. I'm about to get out of here. I'm amped up. He leave. I go back to the house. The next day I call. It's an assistant dude's phone number. It's not even him. Assistant dude. The assistant dude not getting him on the phone. I can't never get to him. So that was basically just a cat. He just like brushed me off, treated me like he just.
Well, this guy sounds like a bitch, Bubba.
I just want to see where he goes.
Yeah. Weird anyway. So, you know, I'm still holding on to the fact that, man, this is my guy. He going, maybe it's just because he in the league still. And if he get out, when he done with the league, he'll come back and get us. I held that the whole time. Like, you know what I mean? I'm still doing my thing to survive, but.
Meaning slinging drugs.
That's in the back of my mind. Like, man, my man might come and get me. It's like a dream type of thing. Just in the back.
Be like me saying, you know, Hogan, my favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this? How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required. Equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
He's going to come and rescue me. For real. Like, man, that ship has long fucking sailed. In fact, you know what? I'm gonna say something in here that's very exclusive to Clem Kush. I don't want to be Hogan's friend.
Are you sure?
No. I'm going to tell you right now. If Hogan like sent word to, because we have some common friends, Kevin Hazlett and some others, and if he said, you know, tell Bubba, you know, I'd be like, you know what, I'd have to talk to to Tom Bean and like Mark Tate, like some of my guys, I really look up and say, like, do you think I need to fucking go over there and or has he's had, you know, 10 years to reconcile or throw me a lifeline. And I've done it on my own. And I really feel like we're on the verge of really bursting the bubble, so to speak. Like everything's right headed in an upward direction. Everything, the team that I got now is all, we all get along. There's nobody talking shit about anybody's back. We don't talk shit to each other's back. We talk shit to each other's face.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And like, I feel like we have the most potential we've had in a long time. We're trending up. There's not a lot of terrestrial radio people that are doing or can do what we do. Juggle terrestrial and digital at the same time. And I just feel really good. I don't know. I don't need Hogan. You know, when I needed him the most, he showed me what he thought about me.
When did you need him the most? When you were out back in the trailer?
Yeah, I needed him the most in several. I needed him the most. Like as soon as Beasley fired me from Bubba 98.7, and I didn't have shit, and I lost my house, and I was getting ready to lose this building, and I damn near lost my racetrack, and he's putting, you know, 45, 50 million in his pocket.
You needed some Kizash?
I mean, he could have. He didn't make that. He made 35 million from Gawker. That's what he actually took home. I mean, you couldn't have scratched me off a couple hundred thousand to fucking keep me, you know, so that I didn't lose my house and I didn't lose my fucking, you know, studios.
Well, people think,
I mean, you would have never have gotten, had I not, hey, listen, let me just tell you this. Had I not testified the way that I testified, pleading the fifth. I pled the fifth. They put me, Gawker was going to put me on the stand, and they had all these loaded questions for me. And we sent word to them. We ain't answering one of them. Fuck you. They were expecting me to answer every one of these questions, which would have self-incriminated me, got me in more trouble. And we're like, there's so many to choose from. Fifth. We're like the Dave Chappelle shit. I won his case for him. He could have helped me out a little bit. He chose not to. I don't fucking need him for shit. He can fuck off.
People think that you miss him because you talk about the sex tape a lot.
I talk about the sex tape for the damage that it did to me, internally and externally. It's to this day, to this very minute, on this Tuesday, April 30th, the last day of April, it fucks with my head. I struggle with it every day.
Do you think, I feel like I'm doing a two live Jew. Do you feel like you should go to therapy for it?
No.
Why not?
Because I can't get a fucking therapist, Bubba, up to speed on this bullshit.
Bubba, give me your best stuff. Listen, I just feel like you shouldn't have to. If you could clear your mind of that shit and not have to worry about it every day.
I can't.
You could.
I can't.
You could give it a whirl.
Stop.
I don't want you to have
therapy when you go to therapy, bitch.
I'm done, Bubba. I'm maxed out, man. I went for 10 years. It didn't work. Once that happens, they tell you that you can't go anymore.
Back in my head, because he's one of my best friends, period. Like, but nah, that's not what happened. I went to his cousin when the Lakers came, when he was playing his last game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, buddy, you're being way more dead. I didn't do shit. I just wrote, Hogan wrote me the fuck off, and I got to step in. I didn't get on somebody's podcast and fucking bellyache about it
after he's dead.
I mean, but here's the deal. I also didn't. Like, I talk about the sex tape and who stole it and that. But I don't ever fucking, like, I don't ever say, you've never heard, now you've heard every part of me talking about the sex tape, and you've never heard me say these words. Hogan needed to hook me up. Have you ever heard me say that?
No.
No. I've always just been like, the motherfuckers that did this need to have to fucking answer the bell too. That's my only, through the whole fucking sex tape shit, that's my only fucking stance, is the persons that also were involved in this need to answer the bell. I've never said, Hogan owes me money, Hogan should have hooked me up, Hogan should have did, nope, never said that, because that's not how I feel. I don't want his fucking money. I want to make my own way.
But so did this guy, Bubba, but apparently he didn't want to make his own way.
So when Hogan dies, maybe I'll have this perspective.
No doubt. His cousin was like, look.
Maybe when Hogan dies, he's leaving me office live.
I was going to say, maybe if it's just like, if under the conditions that you have to get baptized, and then you could get like $1 million he's got waiting for you.
Yeah.
I was talking, you know, big about him. Hey, yo.
I'll get baptized and say I still don't believe in Jesus.
Or you can get his Gandalf walking stick instead and like
my man,
it.
Man, blah, blah. His cousin came to me. He said, Kev, I'm going to tell you something about this guy. Dude is a certified piece of shit. And that's when he started running everything down. The man never did nothing for nobody in his family. Like he got a $500 million empire. His sisters was working regular jobs. You see his mom and them got to fucking sell memorabilia and shit. But even when he was home, remember that memorabilia shit? That's because dude just a certified, he just don't care about nobody but his wife and them in a new family. And you know, and all
there's
that
nothing
comes
here,
from
Bubba.
Once he used to come back to Philly all the time. That's why I'm saying we were still tight. He came back every summer.
You weren't tight,
season.
Dude.
Once he met her, he never came back. No
yeah,
more.
Pussy will do that to you. It's doing it to me and my son right now. You know, Yoko Ono Ace.
Anything going on with that?
No. Yeah. Nothing.
Or that's when everything changed. And
that's another struggle I got. That's a fucking big time struggle I take. I mean, can you imagine? If little Sethy was 22 years old and she fell in love with this dude and this dude turned her completely against you and Phoebe?
No, can I tell you what I would do? And I'm not telling you to do this. I know that you wouldn't. I would fucking show up. I would be showing up until this got handled. And I don't know what I can't show.
I don't know where he lives. I don't know where he lives.
What about like where he races and
stuff? Let's try to get through this a little bit. I guess I could show up where he races, but that would be uncomfortable, and it might not be good for his performance that night. I get all fucked up, get him all fucked up in the head, and I mean, it's not like he's just playing softball or something. He's dealing with a sport that can kill you. I mean, it's probably the most volatile sport there is as far as life and death, right? Racing.
Yes. Yeah.
So you know, I can't show up in his pits and say, hey, son, I love you. I want to talk to you right before he's getting ready to get in a 900 horsepower fucking sprint car and go 130 mile an hour on a 1/3 bank track.
I get that.
And he's obviously, the only thing that I think that he still can potentially get of mine is I think that I think he has not changed his email. So I email him and I mean,
he could have you blocked though, right?
He could. He could, and here let me go to my emails.
Well, here's the thing,
because I email him about every couple weeks, Seth, and I say the same thing. I'm like, will you please let me be part of your life? I love you so much. Let me see here. I'm gonna search Tyler. Here we go.
Well, but even if he's getting these, I doubt he's even opening them. And I'm not trying to say that to be mean or anything. I just don't feel like I feel like he's trying to separate himself from all of it.
April 15th. Here, I can even show them so you can verify.
Yeah.
April 15th. Hey, saw you got the Viper Motorsports ride. That's so cool, buddy. I miss you so much. I cry every day, and I miss you so much. Please let me back in your life. Please. Tara and Nana misses you too. Like, you're seeing it, right?
I mean, you're
verifying that I'm not just making this shit up.
Oh, I see it. It was Monday
a couple weeks, 2 weeks ago, Monday at 5:18, you know, as I'm just reflecting, here we go. Here's another one. This was March 6th. And this was...
Was that an Instagram link you sent him?
It's an Instagram link, and I think it's about your here you go. Look how sad this is. I sent this to him.
Suddenly a man stood where a little boy used to be. When I think of you, I see the journey of a little boy transforming into a strong and wonderful man.
Oh, no.
You're my source of pride, always. I may not carry you in my arms anymore, but I will always carry you in my heart. You will always be my little boy. To my son.
I mean, Bubba.
Hold on.
I closed my eyes for a moment and suddenly a man stood where a little boy used to be.
I mean, this has almost got me ready to cry.
But a guy's got a freaky voice. It's maybe he startled them off.
I know we're trying to be funny about it, but I mean, like, I, okay, so
I'm
that
trying.
Was,
that's the only that way was, I know how to deal with things, Bubba, is through humor.
So January 10th, to see my son that I love more than anything in the world, this might be easy for you to throw me away, but honestly, it's killing me. I miss you so much. Like, I mean, every you can see every month. Here we go. Here's another one. It's a link, and it's hold on. Let me see. I think. This is
Dale Jr.
Yeah. Oh, let's listen.
And I sat on the couch, and I thought a little bit about that conversation that he had with my dad. There were a couple things that he told me that there was that one conversation that he had about, you know, being inadequate as a father. And then there was a couple other conversations that he had. You know, if I sat there for 10 minutes, right, I think at the end of it, I got up with the feeling and the emotion that the conversation with Hank was a nice, needed reminder of how much I need to appreciate my dad for the opportunity and the foundation that he laid for me and Kelly and Carrie and Taylor. And as you get removed from his, you know, his life and being around him and being reminded daily by those, that very thing, right? Everything you have is because of him. Everything at your fingertips is because of him. The further removed from that you are and the more you go on with your own life, the more I think you take a little credit, you know, for yourself. And less credit to the origins of everything. And so it was a good reminder for me to remember that all the blessings that I have and the life that I live, the first handful of dominoes that got me here were set up and knocked over by him. I went home.
And don't you think, like, that's pretty moving, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm trying Thanksgiving here. My email. Where'd it go? Let me see here. Thanksgiving. Here we go. Another family holiday wasted. We all miss you.
Oh shit, man. It's tough, dude, cuz I've been on the other side of that before with my mom, and the guilt that you might feel, it could, you know, I can't navigate this, man.
You know, June, on his birthday, I love you so much and I miss you so much. I would give anything in the world for us to be good again, your dad. Like, so, like, I I'm trying. I don't know where he lives. I don't know where his phone number is. I'm blocked from all of his social media. I do send emails.
Bubba, there's a barrier. There's a barrier between you guys, and it's his girlfriend's parents or his fiance's parents, and that's the toughest thing. Is that you have to, you're probably not going to get through them at all. Because then, if you can get through them, then you still have to get through to Tyler. So it's almost like you have to work around them and try to get right to Tyler. And again, I don't know how you do that.
And her mom, Ace's mom, Brenda, told Erica the night that they got in a fight at my track, and I told Ace to go home because I didn't want her fucking up Tyler's head. And her mom got on the phone with me and said, if I have to come pick up my daughter, you'll never see your son again. And I'm like, would you just stop with that fucking white trash, you know, bullshit? Just stop. These two kids are fighting. I need her to get out of here. Come pick her up. We'll live to fight another day. He's got races tonight, but, you know, we'll get it handled. And she said to me, she flat out, and her name is Brenda, and I'm literally her bitch. She runs this show lock, stock, and barrel.
And why was she planning on kidnapping Tyler if you made her pick up her daughter that night?
She just
What was the tie-in there?
The tie-in is that, you know, I should not have ever asked her to come pick up her daughter. And
was it because her daughter's pertinent to Tyler's racing, or?
Well, they think, you know, they just, whatever. Just so now Tyler has rekindled his relationship with his mother, which is great, but she hates me. And he's rekindled his relationship with his stepfather. And that's who he's racing with right now. He's racing with his stepfather. I mean, do you know how hard that would be? If, let's say that you spent damn near almost your entire life savings on developing. Let's say for a girl, this would be the equivalent to, like, because it's very, very expensive, like equestrian. So let's say that, you know, you got little Sethy involved in like barrel racing or equestrian, you know, horse and stuff. And super expensive. Like, yeah. The horses are like 10 grand.
Fuck
and
a, yeah.
You know, so, but since she was age 3, you had her, you know, really, really dialed in, and she was progressing through the ranks, and it looked like she really, really had an opportunity to take it to the next level, maybe do it for a living. And then you and Phoebe were really never together, and Phoebe remarries, and her husband.
Oh, that means I'm getting poontang on the reg. Sorry, go ahead.
Phoebe divorces you, and her new husband takes over the equestrian team, and they tell you to go fuck off. And you have no relationship with little Sethy. You can't talk to her. You can't hold her. You don't see her for all of your holidays.
First of all, fuck boy, who you've just told me to tell me to get fucked. Fuck boy's going down, okay? Whether I need a weapon, whether I need my hard-hitting friends from South St. Pete, whether I take him down by twisting his balls, that guy's going down, Bubba. Now, what happens with my wife and my daughter after that, that's up to God. But I will tell you that I will take that motherfucker out of the equation, because less is more.
Well, you can't do that.
In this world, I would, Bubba. I'm telling you that there are situations where I would put my hands on somebody, as much as of a pussy as I am, and there are times when I would put my hands on a fucking kid. Sorry, that was an outburst.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it really, and we're going to end with this, but just like I struggled a year with what Blitz did to me, and I played a pretty damn good game with not showing my disdain for Anna. And it finally came to a boiling point where after a year, I couldn't take it anymore. Her and I just weren't jiving. And let's not forget this. And you know the inner workings of what my plans are. I share them with you. You and I are really, really close on the future of what I see and what we collectively see at the BRN. We know the direction we're heading in. We know how to get there. We know what we want. And I never had mentioned to you, prior to her applying for a job to be my competition, I had never mentioned to you that one of the intangibles was to get rid of her. I dealt with her. Sometimes she really upset me. she frustrated me at times. But never did I come to you and say, Seth, I'm firing Anna this Friday. I talked to you a few times about what you thought about life if we didn't have Anna around, but I had no definitive plans anytime soon about getting rid of her.
That's correct. I don't know if I said on air, you were just like, I don't care if she's here or not.
I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
I can make it work. It would be far more disruptive and upsetting for me to get rid of her because of all the Blitz shit and all that stuff. So it's just easier. It's almost like that expression where it's almost easier to keep them. And so it was
cheaper to keep them.
It was just easier and cheaper and more so less of a mental fuck for me to keep her. Well, that's until I will fire every fucking employee faster than your head will spend on one thing: being disloyal to me and not having my back and not being old school when it comes to loyalty. I am loyal to a fucking fault. When I am your friend, I am your fucking friend. And you know as well as I do, Seth, you've called me in a few times. You've called me a few times as a friend, and you needed some help as a friend. And fuck, I was there. I'm like, you know, I'm like, whatever it takes, Seth.
I mean, that's,
I'm here for you.
It's 100% true. I mean, situations that people will probably never know.
People will never know. Yeah. It's just between me and you.
But, yeah, I mean, you've helped me out in, you know, a tremendous, tremendous binds that I've had in my life.
And I loved you so much and knew that we had such a connection, that I kept a really positive and friendly, open relationship with your mother, open line of communication. You know, her and I would speak about how you, like, hey, how's Seth doing? Oh, he's doing okay. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't know how I was doing.
Yeah, but she would at least keep me kind of up to speed on, you know, you, because I didn't really feel comfortable about reaching out to you.
Right.
But I would still want you to do good. Like, I was wanting you to do well. And it really upset me the one day that I saw you walking down the street having an anxiety attack as you worked next door, because I could tell you were just lost and miserable. And I know you're my friend, and I could just tell you were uncomfortable and you were lost and you were miserable, and you at some menial fucking stupid ass job they had you doing over there that they weren't even all in, and there was no room of growth, and it was just a bullshit job to make a little bit of money to try to help for fucking, you know, your house, support
well,
your household.
Well, it did pay okay, and I was an official manager, so
I know.
I did have that, but it
you
was
weren't
not,
happy.
It was my first 9-to-5, man, and it ate me up. It just
right.
wasn't, and it wasn't like, I can't do this, I'm better than this. It's like, I don't know, I can't sit down. Like, I can't sit down from 8:30 to 5. Like, I gotta walk around. Like, there's too much, whether it's my quirks or whatever. Like, I'm just not cut out for that.
So
it took me a while to figure that out.
So, you know, I faked it pretty well with Anna. Nobody knew. No, I mean, there were some people that really knew what happened, but it was never exposed on the air the way it's been exposed. It was never broke down the way we broke it down. And, you know, I being able to break it down and tell the Blitz story and not have Anna here anymore has lifted such a huge weight off my shoulder. But I still struggle very, 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 very much so about not having a son with not having a relationship with my son and everybody else having the opportunity to be close to him. People that didn't care about the millions of, and listen, it has nothing to do with how much money I spent. Every dollar I ever spent on Tyler's racing, I wanted to. It was a activity that kept me and my son together, kept us close, had a common bond. You know, hobbies are expensive, especially racing. I got to think that's probably one of the most expensive hobbies you can get involved in. But you'll never hear me use that against him. I did that willfully. I willfully spent that money, a lot of it, to get him as good and as in the skill set that he has. And I would just think that maybe, just maybe, he could think for himself and like come up with a conclusion. You know, I know me and my dad don't see eye to eye on some stuff, but you know what? He's a pretty fucking good dad. And yeah, he gave me a few whippings and a few spankings. He did.
Are you talking about your dad or are you being Tyler right
no,
now?
No, I'm Tyler.
Okay.
You know, and like the latest that's come out, I've been told now, is that he's telling people I was physically and mentally abusive.
Oh, no.
And boy, that rap really sucks.
Oh, I was going to say, like, being called a racist, it's tough to defend that you didn't abuse somebody, you know, mentally or physically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like,
if somebody says to you, like,
when he says that, because he's asked, as he's on the road racing, a lot of Bubba Army come up to him and say, hey, listen, your dad really missed. Hey, listen, a lot of Bubba Army go to his races. A lot of people listen to the show. A lot of people, you know, I don't think we give ourselves near the credit of how big our audience really, truly is.
I have no idea.
I mean, it's big. I mean, if you take everything all in, you take the Rumble, you take the Twitch, you take the Twitter, You take the YouTube, you take Bubba Army HQ, you take the 6 radio stations, you take TuneIn, you take Kick, you take everything.
Are we on Kick?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're on Kick.
Fuck yeah!
And you take everything. There's a lot of. I mean, we got we're approaching 160,000 on Facebook. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people clown you for Facebook because it's boomer. But I mean, listen, if I got a video of my show that 6,300 people watch on Facebook, and on that same video, 11,500 watched on YouTube, and I mean, you know, 14 to 2,000 watched on Twitch, and you know, 5,400 watched on Twitter. I mean, you're having cumes now, and you know the radio market. You're having cumes now of, you know, 60 and 70,000 potential people that were exposed to your morning show.
Right.
That's a pretty big number. And so the Bubba Army gets to Tyler, and he's now, it's gotten back to me. That his girlfriend says, well, the real story is, we're going to finally tell it. The real story is that Bubba was physically and mentally abusive to him. And I have no comeback with that because I did spank him a few times. Oh, I'm an old school dad. And I gave him a few whippings. Yeah, I did. I mean, you know, nothing that he had to go to the hospital over. I mean, I may have bruised that ass a little bit.
I mean, I don't think anybody, I'm not a spanker, but I also don't have any issues with people that do. Because yeah. I sure as fuck see why they do sometimes.
You know, I mean, you know, one time Tyler got a spanking because he took my buddy Jeff Bird, Larry Bird's brother, was visiting me floating in the pool. And Tyler was like 5 and I was at work. And it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. I usually got home about noon. And Tyler took my $100 boxing gloves and was showing off and threw them into the pool.
With Larry Bird?
You know, with Jeff Bird.
Oh, Jeff Bird. Okay. And, oh, I thought it was Larry. It was just Tyler and Larry.
No, it was Jeff Bird, which is Larry's younger brother, right?
Okay.
And so Jeff Bird goes, Tyler, I'm telling you, you better not do that. Your dad's going to whoop your ass. And so Jeff fished him out before they got, you know, because there's a little bit of, like, your boxing gloves. They were the boxing gloves that I trained on, you know, that I had, because I had my little mini home gym there. And so they're the boxing gloves that I trained. Well, for a little bit, they would just float on the surface until the water got into them. So, you know, Jeff kind of saved them from floating on the surface, and he fished him out real fast because he was laying in the float in the pool. And he goes, Tyler, I'm telling you, you better put these in the sun so they dry out or your dad's going to be mad as hell. Tyler took him again. I don't even know what he was fucking thinking. Took him again and threw him in there till they dry, you know, till they went to the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, yeah. They're a little wild. Well, they're a little kind of wild cardy, Bubba, when they're 5 and 6.
Yeah,
you know,
you know what? You're hitting that now.
Yeah,
they are a little wild. I mean, they're a handful, man.
That's where you just look at your wife and like, why the fuck did we have kids?
Yeah, I mean, they are a little. So I came home, and Tyler immediately started crying. I'm like, what's wrong? He goes, I threw your boxing gloves in the pool. And I go, why would you do that? And he goes, I don't know. I said, well, get over here. I took him to his room and I whipped that ass. And Dr. Krongold, when I had Tyler, it didn't come under the most, you know, ideal circumstances. I got his mother pregnant by accident. I'd been with her just a couple times. She was a dancer.
I'm just going about the rumors I've heard over the years.
Yeah, she was a dancer. I got her pregnant.
Yeah.
And we're dating, I get her pregnant, and the minute that she finds out she's pregnant, she breaks up with me. It's just a big fucking shakedown. I got a lawyer up. Now, mind you, back in the day, before all these pro-dad laws were passed, and circa, you know, 2000.
Before dads were illegal.
Before being a dad was a crime. You know, I had to pay for her legal fees because the person that made the most money had to pay for both him and so I had to pay for her legal fee. Her legal bill was $150,000. My legal bill was $150,000. And that was just for me to fight to get a little bit of custody. So the minute she broke up with me, I mean, the minute she found out she was pregnant, she broke up with me.
Was this like her version of capturing an NBA player?
Yeah. Yes.
She's like, I got the sponge for 18 years.
And she never, for that 18 years, ever, ever worked. And at times, I'm not going to give you my full, but I mean, at times when I was really rolling hard, my child support was $6,000. $6,000 tax-free dollars for at least 6 or 8 years.
Damn, that's what Britney Spears is paying KFed almost.
No, she's paying him $40K. But so, like, you know, nothing's been conventional about this. I've tried to be the best dad that I could. I did get 50-50. Listen, you want to know what's so fucking, like, so sad, Seth, is that the courts believed that I was Bubba the Love Sponge from 98 Rock, so they instantaneously only gave me supervised visitation. So for the first year of his life, I could only, when I wanted to see my son, I had to go to the Chili's at US 19 in East Bay, and Jenna and her mom would hand me to Tyler, and I had to go into the family restaurant portion for an hour, and they went into the bar, and that's the only time for a year. Jeez. That's what I had to do. And it was once a week. It was Wednesdays at 3 o'clock.
What was your go-to order?
I wouldn't even usually order food. I'd just cry the entire time. I would hold my son and feed him his bottle and maybe order like some nachos or something. Shit. Tara and I couldn't even, like, I couldn't even be alone. I had to have my sister with me. Like, it was like they had me painted as such a monster. The courts, you know, listened to all the strippers and all the bullshit that I used to do. They thought that I was that guy. Finally, I get Dr. Satterley and Dr. Krongold, two child psychologists. I have to go through a year worth of talking to these people. And both of them put in, filed with the court that I was just a regular dude, a regular guy, and would be okay to have unsupervised time with his son, and they gave me 50%. So I got him we would do in week intervals where I'd have him for a week, and then she would have him for a week. And that worked out really, really, really well. It did. And her and I had a really good dad-mother relationship. And we would go to, you know, like he played peewee football. We would go to the football. I would meet her at the football game if he had her, or she would meet me at the game.
Did you ever hit it again, or just when you got her pregnant? That was the last time.
Well, I mean,
all right, I got you, Sponjo. Wink, yeah. Wink. I'm in the office.
No.
I mean, I'm giving you to the office.
I'm not going to.
That's okay.
I didn't, and that would be disrespectful to her husband, but I didn't. She always was always really cute and always hot. And there was times where I was single, but I just didn't.
I got you. Hey, can they not get you to Tyler?
No, they don't, because
they hate you too.
He's driving for him. Tyler's driving for his stepdad.
Oh, not his girl, not his fiance's dad, but his actual stepdad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he stepped in, and he's the good guy now. And that's just, it's just so not,
oh,
it's so.
Dude, Tyler's more insulated than Kim Jong-un, dude. Like, nobody can get to him.
I know. I gotta go.
Yeah, Travis Kelce, you know, signed a new deal with the Chiefs, highest paid tight end in the NFL. Taylor Swift probably jumping on top of riding him all the way to Florida on that one. Timeshare down in Destin.
He wants more money.
God bless you for trying to.
I'm trying. I get the sad vibes, man. It gives me anxiety.
But wouldn't you just be like, and I got to come in here on the
It would fucking suck, man. I'd be mad if my dog didn't talk to me.
He's your boy, toy.
We'll see you later.
He is our Sethy boy. He's not your boy, toy. Direct deposits. He's making profits. He's picking pockets. When his daughter's around, he stole dumbbells.